Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Tudors Dynasty Podcast. And now, Hands on History with Heather Darcy.
Hello and welcome to Hands on History. I am Heather Darcy. This, of course, is a segment of the Tudors Dynasty Podcast where we look to speak with people who work in the field of history in non-traditional ways, or at least maybe not in the most obvious ways. And today I'm very excited to say that I am joined by Sarah Somerville of Shaw House. Welcome, Sarah. How are you?
Thank you. Yes, I'm very well. Thank you. How are you?
Doing well. So tell us about how you became involved with Shaw House.
Yeah, so I began working in heritage over 10 years ago now. And that involved a lot of volunteering at the start alongside my studies. But firstly, then I worked as a tour guide at Highclere Castle, which many people will know as Downton Abbey. I was then there for about 7.5 years. I worked in the public opening department for quite some time after I graduated. And then I moved to Shaw House in 2019. So I've worked here ever since. And I'm the visitor services officer here.
Did your education line up with what you're doing at Shaw House?
Yes. Yeah, so I studied museum and gallery studies at university. So that was a big combination of art history, history, conservation, all of that sort of thing. So it was good preparation for working at Shaw.
So what is a typical day like for you at Shaw House?
Well, that's why I like it, because it's very varied. So my role, although the term visitor services officer is quite broad, so it covers a lot of different things, but my main responsibilities are the events management here. I also organise the children's activities. So there's a lot going on at Shaw that we're involved with. So one minute you're, organising a Christmas fair, the next you might be doing an afternoon tea, and then you might be doing a tour. There's lots to keep us busy, and that's why I like it.
What can you tell us about Shaw House itself?
Shaw House is an incredible example of Elizabethan architecture. The house was built in 1581, and whilst the internal architecture has changed quite a few times since that time, the external architecture is very much the same as it was in 1581. So when you arrive here, you're met with a huge H-shaped house built of brick with lots of glass windows, lovely chimneys. It's very much that Elizabethan style manor house.
What are some of the events that you have to, I know you touched on it a little bit, like Christmas fairs and afternoon tea, but what are some of the events that Shaw House puts on throughout the year that you help with?
So the main business model is actually we're a business and conference center. So Monday to Friday in term time, we operate as a business conference center. We'll have meetings and training here in the rooms. But on the weekends, on some weekends through the year and during school holidays, we open as a heritage venue. So we're open for public openings so people can come and explore. But also we have the events. So we have a spring, summer and Christmas fair. We have outdoor theatre, outdoor cinema, sculpture exhibitions, all sorts going on.
And for myself and my American friends, term time means, of course, when the kids are at school, correct?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So you said you started at a castle volunteering. How did you get started volunteering?
So it was alongside my studies. So I think an important element of working in heritage is knowing that a lot of the work, certainly at the beginning, that you're going to be doing may well be for free, to get the experience both for your CV, but also for yourself, working out what sort of areas you want to be in. So alongside my studies and my early work at Highclere as a tour guide, I also volunteered at the local museum. I also volunteered at the museum whilst I was studying in Wales. So it's getting that variety. When you volunteer, there's so many different roles you can be involved with that it really helped me decide and sort of narrow down what area of heritage I wanted to actually work in. So it was really useful to do quite a few volunteering roles.
Would you recommend volunteering to anybody that wanted to become involved in we don't have heritage property here. I mean, we have something similar, but anyone who wanted to work in a historic building?
I would say so, or just heritage in general, because when I started volunteering, I was very much of the mindset that I wanted to work in museums, in curation. But actually through my experience, I decided that I actually liked more of the tour guide side of things. So actually a historic house was more suited for me. So I could have a play around with the different roles when you're volunteering. You can really narrow down what you want to do, what areas you want to work in. And of course, it's amazing to get the experience as well, because when you're looking at jobs, that's then you've got a nice foundation to say that you have experience in curation or the day-to-day runnings or the event side, hospitality, that sort of thing. So it just gives a good foundation to then go into work.
Did you pursue any types of certificates or any specializations to help prepare you to work at Shaw House?
Mainly my degree. So I've got a museum and galleries studies degree. And as I say, that blended really art history, a bit of history, and also curation. But the main focus was art history. And I do find that historic houses kind of blend all of those together nicely, which is why I enjoy working there so much. But I think to work in heritage, it's a combination of three factors, really. It's the qualifications. So, you know, training in curation, if you want to go into museum work. Also the passion, you need to have that passion, because you need to be interested. There's a lot to learn, a lot to do. And if you're not passionate about it, it's not really going to work. But also a proof of skills. So that's where volunteering comes in really handy. So it's all very well saying you're passionate or you've got a degree in something, but to actually prove that you've put that passion into reality is really important too.
What are a couple of your favorite features about Shaw House itself?
Oh, good question.
Through you,
probably, too many to mention. Probably in the room I'm sat in right now is called the Oak Room, and it's got this beautiful oak paneling behind me. And it's an interesting room to show to people on a tour, because on one side you've got a beautiful big window which has the diamond shaped glass in, which is the Elizabethan style windows. And then on the other side, you've got the updated sort of rectangular glass panes. So it shows how developments have been made through the time. And the reason they're too different is because on this west side of the house, it was very much the servants' side. So guests wouldn't necessarily see this area. So it didn't need to be updated as the other windows did. So it kind of shows quite nicely the history of the house in one room. You've got the beautiful paneling, the interesting windows, and it smells lovely in here as well.
I'm just curious about this. Are there many remnants from the original owners aside from the facade and perhaps some of the windows?
Well, the Dolman family who built Shaw House in 1581, they were here for six generations. So it's very much their family home. They'd made their wealth through the cloth trade, and they were very intelligent businessmen, because before the cloth trade went into decline, they invested all their money. They retired from the trade, invested their money into property and into building Shaw House. And they've actually got their cloth mark on the above the south porch of the house. So there's little notes towards the Dolman family, certainly in the architecture. But it was later owned by a variety of families, the Duke of Chandos, the Andrews family, the Eyre family, and the Farquhar family as well. So there's been lots of different families living here through the time.
How did it come to be a heritage property?
Well, because it's very much a historic house, luckily it's been saved through time. During the Second World War, soldiers came here and it was requisitioned by the War Office, and then it later became a school. But luckily, in the late 20th century, funding was found to restore it, because many historic properties, certainly after the Second World War, were lost. There was too much work to do to them and it wasn't financially viable. So we're owned by the council now. And during the restoration, it was decided that although it's very much a historic house, it also needed to earn its keep. It couldn't just sort of sit pretty. So when they were restoring it, they installed a lot more sort of electricity points, better lighting, that sort of thing. But they also preserved the historic elements of the building. So that's why we can do the dual aspect of the business, really, very much the corporate side, but also we're still a historic house. So luckily it was saved in that way and we can open it as a heritage venue still.
What are some of your favorite things about what you do at Shaw House?
Again, good question. I have to say I do love giving tours because due to the nature of the house and what it's been used for, as I briefly mentioned, it was a school for about 40 years. So at that time, when it was sold in the 40s, it was no longer a family home. So the furniture was lost, the paintings were lost. And since then, that hasn't been restored. So the rooms, when you come and see them, they're quite empty in terms of that furniture, but it does allow the architecture to do the talking. But what I do love is giving tours and bringing the house to life to people. So pointing out things that they may not have noticed and seeing them get really enthusiastic and excited about things. For example, in the hall, during restoration, they took down all the panels from the walls, numbered them, restored them, and replaced them to where they originally came from. And in doing so, they rediscovered a lot of the Elizabethan fabric of the house. So Elizabethan doorways, fireplace arches, windows. And in the hall, they found a doorway that had a really clear witch mark on. So I like to point things like that out to people because it's so easy to miss it. So it's good to point things out. So I love that. But really just the variety, generally working in heritage, you get that variety. One minute you're certainly at my role at Highclere, it's either catching escapee sheep or doing a tour or pouring champagne or, you know, you get involved with everything.
So you mentioned a witch mark. And again, for my American friends and I, can you explain to us what a witch mark is? They know that those are not uncommon in England, or at least at one point in time, they were not uncommon. But what is that? And what does it look like?
Yeah, so they're very popular, especially of the Tudor period. And basically, they were carved, especially into beams in historic houses. They were carved into beams to protect the house from evil spirits. So you see them both in houses and in outer buildings, because obviously the farm element of the house was valuable. So they were protecting the outer buildings as well. This one in particular is a lovely round circle with some decoration in. But I think they differ in style, probably depending on the period. But it's really interesting to look out for. If you're a fan of Tudor buildings, there's bound to be one in the Tudor building that you visit.
How did you prepare for your first tour that you gave at Shaw House?
Gosh, lots of research. Expect the unexpected. I think because I give talks as well. And at the end, I always say, are there any questions? And you just have to expect the unexpected because there's all sorts of questions fired at you that you can't possibly prepare for. But yeah, obviously, I did a lot of research into the house because I wrote the guidebook for the house. So that obviously helped. But you learn as you go, because people will ask you a question that perhaps you hadn't thought about. And then you can go away and research into that. And that can be within your next tour. So it's constantly evolving and developing. And just being, you know, enthusiastic with it. You're sharing the house. You're the representative of Shaw House, so it's lovely just being able to share it with a group, really. So just trying to feel nice and relaxed. It's easier said than done, certainly for the first one, but to anyone doing them, just enjoy it.
What do you use for your research materials?
So as I mentioned, I wrote the guidebook, and a lot of people who had worked here had done a lot of research into the house, but a book itself hadn't been compiled. So there was a lot of research already here, but I also went to the local record office, Berkshire Record Office, to do some research, as well as the local museum. But again, at some of the talks I've given, there's been people there that will have a story or a link to finding out more information. That again, the research is continuously ongoing. But yeah, a lot of my research was done with the archive that we had here and the local the record office and the museum in particular.
So turning back to Shaw House's calendar, we are hurtling towards summer now. And I understand that there's some activities that you put on there. Could you tell us about those?
Of course, yes. Yeah. So I mentioned we open to the public on weekends. That's from February time through to September. So we're open on weekends now, but also during the school holidays. So that begins sort of late July time on weekdays. But in addition to that, we've got a wonderful sculpture exhibition coming back. That's always really, really popular. There's lovely sculptures out in the grounds. So that really brings the gardens to life. We also have a summer fair taking place on the 17th of July, outdoor theatre, outdoor cinema, all sorts going on. But also through public opening, we have our Dress for Shaw costume exhibition. So there's plenty to see.
And where are you located?
So we're in the south of England, we're in Berkshire, which is sort of midway between London and Bristol, if you think of it that way.
Do you have a website?
We do. It's if you search West Berkshire Heritage, that's our website. So that will give you all the opening times, and you can also book on to the events, because our public opening is very much free. You can come and have a look around the house for free. But some of the events you have to book on to, so it's worth having a look at the website.
And we'll make sure we pop that link too, so that everybody can click and check out Shaw House. Is there anything else that you wanted to tell us either about what you do or about Shaw House itself?
Not really, other than just I hope people are inspired to come visit, because it's been kind of known locally as a hidden gem. Because unless you, we get a lot of people who went to school here, of course, but unless you sort of know about us, we're quite hidden, really. But it's a lovely venue to come and have a look around. We've got a fabulous exhibition room, a wonderful cafe shop. So it's a lovely, affordable day out to anyone that wants to come and have a look around.
And family friendly too, I take it, right?
Very, very much. So I'm involved with the children's activities, and we've always got trails around the house, out in the grounds, and we've got an activity room as well that I love decorating. It's a woodland theme at the moment with trees everywhere, so it's great.
Sarah, what other advice do you have for us?
Probably a big thing would be to not be deterred by rejection. Because roles in the heritage sector rarely come up, you know, they're quite limited, and people tend to stay in them for quite a long period of time. So there's a lot of competition for roles. So that's why I guess volunteering is really important, to show that you've got a passion for it and you've got some experience as well. But even if a role, you're not successful in getting a role, then perhaps ask for feedback. That's always useful to then take you forward to the next interview. But yeah, that it just shows that, and also the power of social media, you know, get some connections there, follow people that are in roles that you'd like to see what they're doing day to day, to see whether you actually want to do that role or not, and just to get an interest in what they do. And also building up your own sort of network. But yeah, just don't be put off if you don't get that one role. There'll be another role out there, but just build up your portfolio in the meantime.
That's great advice. One of my very favorite sayings is that greatness takes time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like that. It's very true.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for your time today and for coming and telling us more about what you do, how you got to where you are, and about Shaw House. Again, everyone, this is Heather Darcy with Hands on History from Tudor's Dynasty. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Tudor's Dynasty podcast. You can follow and support the Tudor's Dynasty podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon at Tudor's Dynasty.